Hey, what's going on? This is episode 336 of the IT and the D Show. Guests this week include Jason Bressler. He is the CTO. Matt Turner. He is one of the head recruiters of United Shore Mortgage. They're putting on a career fair on March 4th. Over 300 open IT positions, everything from coding to networking. They're going to be talking all about it. And it's Snowmageddon in Detroit, and we got a lot of funny stories. And Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hey guys, it's Timehawk, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beat off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier. Storm! Storm! Come here, Storm. Sit up my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
This is the Ladies Man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds! Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerd.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. Whatever the hell that is.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snoops to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Stein of Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
This is Robert Hayes, the Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT and the D.
Skeptical Dave is skeptical.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie. I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Hey, what's happening? What's going on? This is episode 336 of the one and only IT in the D Show, and we are broadcasting live here in Studio One, Podcast Detroit, in beautiful, snowy Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy. That is Dave the Geek. Randy, I do the Twitters, is doing the Twitters. Find us online, itandthed.com and do us a favor. Give us a like on the socials. Subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Hey, so what do we got? We got the Ann Arbor event coming up on 3-3. I forget.
Haymaker.
I always forget the odd even thing. I should have that memorized by now, and I just don't.
2 years now.
Yeah, I just don't. And my brain refuses to commit that to memory. And then we had, the next one is the 19th will be at the Cozy Lounge. And they are really kind of dorked about us being there.
And not only that, they're named for one of the best burgers in southeastern Michigan.
Yeah, they were like one of the top 10 burger joints.
Right.
Like, and, oh my God, their cheesesteak is so good.
I agree. And then like James Rigotto from Mabel Gray, who's like, I think he's James Beard. He's one of the top chefs around. He like swears by their chicken biscuit. So like that, honest to God, it's a little dive bar. It's a little towny bar, but they've transformed that thing into like kind of a cool little place.
It's a great little place, and we're looking forward to it. And then, and then last week we had our event at Woodbridge Pub, really well.
I like that place. That was the first time I remember being there.
Yeah, I might have
been there before, but
I haven't been there since my Wayne State days.
Oh wow,
yeah, and like that place like just brought back tons of it was good. It was phenomenal. Like, love that place. Yeah. Love to go back.
Thrilled. Everybody was like, it couldn't have been happier. And it was again another one of those like a lot of the people that showed up were like, oh my God. Heard about this place, never been here, really digging it.
And they have decent sipping rum.
And they have food, as long as you don't want the chicken wings.
Chicken wings are gone. I was in the mood, but then I ordered chicken wontons. That sounds weird. I'll order that. And it's chicken egg rolls. You take the bottom of chicken soup and you slab it in an egg roll, and it was actually pretty good. Anyway, yeah, looking forward to Cozy.
Yeah, it should be good. And then, hey, just on a personal note, I would be remiss if I didn't mention hey, rest in peace, Kelly Tucker. Great guy. Local. He did stuff with us back in the Raw Radio X days. He was a sound guy over at the Ritz downtown at St. Andrews. He did stuff out at Diesel.
Kate, one of our engineers, actually went to graduated specs with him. Yeah, so a lot of people touched a lot of lives. The guy was, if you read his wall today, man, touched a lot of lives.
Yeah, great, great guy. Gone too damn soon. So hey, rest easy, bro.
So on to funny yuck yuck stories. Dave. No. This show must go on, right? He would say the same thing. Don't cup the damn mic.
Exactly. Don't cup the damn mic. Yeah.
But one of the funny – Randy sent out one of the funniest tweets I've seen all week. Basically, I didn't even know that this was possible or this was a thing. But basically, it's an app-powered car. And this couple went basically in rural California in the mountain, like basically for a drive on the weekend.
Yeah.
And they lost cell coverage, and their car bricked, and it got stuck literally in the middle of Shitsville in nowhere.
Oh, that was the best. Say, Heather, so car will not go, and I guess this is where we live now.
Right, but here's the stupidest part. I'm like, wait a minute. You're tweeting? So the cell phone works. So the first tweet, they answer their own like stupid question. They're like, it appears, though, I do not have enough cell service to start my only means of transportation. I do have enough to live tweet my struggle. So thanks for tuning in. I'll be here indefinitely. Like, again, I was stupid. Like, you can send out tweets, but, what does the car need? Like, just bandwidth requirements?
God, who – that's one of the dumbest things. I was going back to, like, the only thing I could think of was, like, the old stories about, like, Mel Farr, Superstar, that had, like, the GPS tracking devices and cutouts.
Oh, yeah.
Cars.
The LoJacks.
Yeah, and all that stuff.
On financed vehicles. Yeah.
So just the bizarre – yeah. It's just one of those weird things that, like, you don't really think through –
Well, they would think there's not full coverage everywhere in the I don't know. It did remind me, though, I watched the worst movie.
I don't know. That seems like a pretty common short-sighted oversight of a IT startup.
There isn't a cell company that says 100% coverage. Like, they all say 99.9% or whatever. There's always some weird pocket and weirdo.
They probably used Sprint or something.
Sprint. Yeah, exactly. Sprinted. Yeah. It does remind me of one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life this weekend.
And that's saying something.
And I should have known better. It was called Cell.
I think I've seen like the trailer for this, but I haven't actually watched it.
I love me some John Cusack. He's one of my top of all time.
Who's coming to town in April?
He is for the free. I tweeted him to see if he'd come on the show. That's not going to happen, but whatever. Wishful thinking. We got Anthony Michael Hall. We might as well, I'll shoot for the moon at this point. Samuel L. Jackson was in it. And it was kind of like the all.
11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I know. I go, there's no way it can be that.
He tired of the cell phones on his
No, I didn't get that bad. But like, It was and then it was like 18% audience score. I go, there's no way it could be that bad. And it starts off like
but wait.
So he starts off like John Cusack's in the airport, and all of a sudden, like, everyone that's on their cell phone is like killing people. Like it's almost like Dawn of the Dead with Ving Rhames, right? Where in the beginning it's like that cool scene where like the outbreak starts and like the town's on fire and all this. So they go out into remote whatever. And if you were like open up a cell phone, like,
okay, like, so like cell phones became that VHS tape in the rain.
Yeah. Then the people open up their mouths and like it's cell signal, like, and like then they like yeah. Then they're basically a guy hands them. They find this diner, and the guy hands them like a flip phone. He says, "Dial this number when you need to save." And like at the end of the movie, he's like, he calls the number, and then he like in this ring of people around the cell tower, and they're all going, and that was it. Dude, I swear to God, I go, that couldn't have been it. And the credits are rolling. I'm like, I sat through this whole thing.
I don't know. This sounds like a good cheesy movie date night.
It's MST3K. Not.
No.
Watch one of those like.
Would it be worth MST3K-ing?
No.
I was going to say my standard.
No, cheesy. Because it wasn't like the Piranha movies and all those stupid. Okay. Me and my wife watched some dumb one where like there was a beast in the sand, and if you touched the sand, it was like floor is lava, and you got eaten. And at the end, it came out of the sand.
Was it the Sarlacc?
No, it would look like that.
I guess I'm going to stick with my standard cheesy date movie than Dead Snow.
What's that?
Oh, you haven't seen Dead Snow?
Is it worse than Jack Frost?
It's
Not the Michael Keaton one, the horror movie where the snowman kills people, but nobody thinks to light a freaking match.
Nazi zombies up in Norway.
Come on.
It's amazing.
Nazi zombies. Norway.
I did see the one that was.
A sequel, Red Dead 2, Red versus Dead, which is Russian zombies versus Nazi zombies.
What was the one? Nazi midgets and Lederhosen or something. And there was like a movie that was like on Showtime. I had to click on and I lasted about 8 minutes. This is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's outstanding.
Kind of a weird week for hackers.
Yeah.
This week.
So I found this interesting. So the same hacker ran two exploits against DeFi and managed to walk away.
Now, for those that don't know, what's DeFi?
It's a decentralized finance. So it's, you know, like all the cryptocurrency stuff that you
got. Got it.
And it's one of the trading houses, and walked away with over $1 million in Ethereum over the course of two transactions.
But see, now explain to me this. The dumb guy in me says, where do you cash that out if you stole it? Because it's tagged, it's marked, it's fingerprinted. Do you follow what I'm saying? Like, you can't go on Coinbase and cash it out. Like, if you just took it from someone.
Well, I mean, in theory, you could, but I mean, it's actually more to the point that knowing those exploits are
possible
and viable. Because I mean, he basically just, you know, exploited, I guess what in certain circles is a very well known, just kind of flaw, in the way that the transactions are authenticated and that kind of stuff, and just overflowed the system and whoop, there went $1 million.
Wow. Now, wasn't a pen test. This was like, how did they know? Was it like a stupid kid bragged about it? Like on social?
They just realized it's gone? Yeah. There's two transactions over $1 million gone. You're going to notice.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. So this one was I don't know if you watched the video of this at all, especially in light of – oh, by the way, the news broke today. Did you hear that we've picked up a second moon?
What?
The Earth has picked up a second moon.
That's no moon.
And it's about the size of a car. They said it's basically an asteroid that drifted close enough to get sucked into our gravitational orbit.
There's a whole ton of shit in our gravitational orbit.
But not like this, not orbiting the Earth like this. But they said it's already on I forget what they call it, a skewed trajectory. So it's probably only going to be around for, a while. And then it's going to get flung back out. It's doing the whole Star Trek whip around the sun,
It is a, quote, temporary captured object.
Yes.
Are we going to land on it?
Somebody will.
Or not land on it?
I claim this planet in the name of Mars.
Somebody will. Put their name – spray paint their name on it. Why not?
I'm sure Elon Musk is desperately trying to figure out how to get there to put
A logo on it.
Yeah, totally. There was an asteroid that hit – well, it didn't hit, but it exploded over India. and basically turned night into day for a while.
Dude, I remember when we were kids, there's a gas plant on Moravian and Shaner that blew up. And I'm maybe 10 or 12. There's people, I remember the story because their cars melted, the siding melted. Mm-hmm. And the whole sky, 3 in the morning, is orange.
Yeah.
This sounds
I screamed that the aliens are going to get us. And my parents, like, because I watched all that crap, the Bigfoot shows, the alien shows, the UFOs. And I'm like, the aliens are here.
These sound like the sort of coincidences that trigger or complete ancient spells. Like, you know, when the sky burns and, whoops.
Yeah, the seventh sign of the, whatever it is.
Well, yeah, 53, equivalent to 53 tons of TNT being detonated in the skies. And CCTV footage of it. Jeez.
Yeah. And they said there's – and that was good. I went down the rabbit hole with all these kind of stories. And they said there's basically – there's another one that should be missing the Earth by about – I forget what it was. I think it's like 2 million miles, which sounds like a lot, but it's really not in astronomical terms, apparently. But they said the next time it comes around in about 20 years, it's going to do this exact same thing. And it's one of those bigger ones that we probably want to figure out a way to deal with it before it hits the atmosphere.
I don't know, shoot up Bruce Willis and sing Aerosmith ballads.
Much easier to train and a minor to be an astronaut than an astronaut to be a minor. Yeah.
Ben Affleck, who else is in that piece of shit movie?
Liv Tyler.
Stupid.
What's his name?
Don't want to close your eyes. Oh, God, that movie's hell. I thought
was Sling Blade in that movie?
Billy Bob?
Yeah.
You refer to him as Sling Blade?
I couldn't remember his name. He's been in enough crap since then.
The French fried potatoes. Stupid. French fried taters. The other stupid one, and I want to see if Tom Lawrence's car is going to – we should mess with him.
He talked about it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Hackers stuck apparently a 2-inch strip of tape on a 35-mile-an-hour speed sign and tricked 2 Teslas into accelerating to 85 miles an hour.
Yeah, so what they did – they took 2-inch tape because, you know, the lettering is – or the numbering is 2 inches wide, the paint strokes, and turned a 35-mile-an-hour sign into an 85-mile-an-hour sign.
So riddle me this. Like when you got GPS on and your Googles in your car, they have the posted speed limit. So wouldn't that – oh, you would think that would override reading tape because there's no place in the U.S. where there's an 85 mile an hour speed limit. Isn't
– Wyoming, I believe there is.
Or Montana maybe. But like
but no, so
coders would put – would you think that they wouldn't –
So and this so Tom actually kind of laid this out a little pretty decently where it – so it was the old – it was a – the Teslas that were hit were running the old first generation.
Don't they update, though? System.
I guess they hadn't at that point. And so they were still using the – trying to use the recognition of there's the sign, read the sign, instead of what, you know, what we have now where, you know, your nav system knows, you know, a lot of what the local speed limit signs or what the local speed limits are and all that kind of stuff. So theoretically, this shouldn't be – too big of a problem, but like, it's still an issue.
It's a piece of code that says, like, no.
Read, sign, run. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, it did. It triggered.
Cross
it,
database to
it triggered posted. Them to accelerate, and that's not a cool thing.
God. Give me my old 76 Cadillac and my 8-track player and just leave me the hell alone.
That's good. And just leave it with seal – what was it? Seal rim hover caps. Anyway.
The best story of the week. This is by far.
Dude, the World Taekwondo Foundation.
Yes.
It has changed their name
WTF
to just World Taekwondo because they were tired of everybody trying to buy their merchandise and use their apparel because it said WTF.
Wasn't it? It was like that when I was like 19 or 21, like around then when like the Fordham University, because it was FU, and like South Carolina, it was like just Cox. Like those are like the best. Everyone had those hats. When we wore them to spring break, and then you never wore them again.
Oh, was it like like the University of North Texas, and everybody bought the coffee cup because when you put the handle out, it was
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
C
was the handle on the UNT, University of North. Yeah. They still sell those, don't they?
I probably.
Yeah.
But no, so I think it's hilarious that if I were them, I would have just embraced this and run with it.
All day.
And just take the merchandise sales and run.
Merchandising all
Guys,
day.
Guys, we're selling too much merchandise.
I know. How is this a problem?
What did they change it to? I can't even see it.
Just World Taekwondo.
Shut up.
They just dropped the F.
I'm still pissed at the World Wildlife Fund, by the way,
They will never be the WWF to me.
No.
I love the picture of the panda bear hitting the
other
one.
The chair. That started real quick.
I've sent them letters like, you've ruined wrestling. I hope you're happy. I hope your pandas die. Yeah, I was bitter when it first happened. I still haven't called it WWE since. Bunch of garbage.
Isn't it just WW now?
WWE.
They kept the
entertainment.
Oh, I thought they
now they make movies eventually. And stupid stuff. No. Yeah. Anyway.
Because they had to prove they weren't a sport whatever.
Because they're a soap opera for people who don't want to admit they watch soap operas.
It's a soap opera for dudes who would never admit they watch soap operas. Yes.
So we got that update we talked about on the Samsung phones, Find My Mobile, and I didn't wake up to it because my phone's downstairs when I sleep. You know, probably for the better. And I thought nothing of it. I thought it was weird. Find My Mobile. I'm like, I thought, you know, because we're all connected family plan. Yeah. I'm like, somebody lost their phone, whatever. But there's an update. I didn't.
So the story last week was Samsung basically going. Yeah, I just accidentally triggered the alert. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Right.
And then the story updated this week.
I don't know what the update is, to be honest. What did they say?
So from what I recall from the story, I believe there's a data breach in the midst of this.
Because something came out that you could see certain phones could see other users' data.
Yeah.
But it was like rando and you didn't know whose it was.
Yeah.
But you could see their names, phone numbers, mailing addresses, email addresses.
Oh, it went that far.
Yeah. So I'm sure this
And their previous orders through the Samsung store.
Yeah. So I'm sure this will get updated more over the course of the next week. But it wasn't just the oops that Samsung originally led everyone to believe.
It's funny. I was there was a video of Gary Vee talking about how Samsung, if it wasn't for the note catching on fire, they would like completely dominate the market. They would owned unequivocally. And he goes, I don't know why they just don't come out and innovate and make the world's greatest phone right now and call it the Samsung Fire and just own it.
Yep.
Just like your name's Skippy, own it, yep. Put it to bed and just come out with the greatest phone ever and call it. I go, I would buy it.
Yeah.
As long as it's not FYRE though, because that's stupid.
Right.
And then people would say, can people stop saying that's so fire, by the way? I didn't realize that was a thing until that festival documentary. Instead of saying like, that's awesome. And some people say that's dope.
That long predates that festival.
Does it really? It needs to stop.
My mixtape is fire.
That needs to stop.
Oh, yeah. That's been forever.
Oh my God. By the way, totally non-related. My desk at work, I have like one of those 120 Slim Jim dispensers. So when you come by our – like we get a lot of walk-ups at work.
Okay.
And like people – Will's got the root beer barrels, the candy. Like, so we're like a little party store going on. I got the Slim Jims and people walk by like, hey, what's up? And they grab a Slim Jim. Kind of what – you know, just whatever. Preaching. One of the guys that works with me brings over the Savage Slim Jim. And he goes, dude, this costs $5. I go, let me see this thing. It's, you know, the deli Slim Jims that are like triple.
The Slim Jim straw?
No, it's bigger.
Really?
So, you know, the deli ones that are like three times the size of normal, the long Slim Jims? This is three times the size of those. And it's a $5 Slim Jim, and it's got Macho Man on it. And it's got three servings. So I go, let me see the nutrition on the side. Servings
8 pounds of salt.
Servings three. No, it got we did the math. It was 70% of your daily sodium.
Oh, Jesus.
If you ate the whole thing. So we were like egging them on to eat the whole thing. And it was the day before Punchki Day too. So of course, like we smashed like three dozen Punchki. I'm like, I can't believe like who's sitting. And then I go, when I started, they never heard my whole dissertation on boardroom stuff.
Yeah,
I'm like, who's sitting around going, you know that really big Slim Jim we have? Let's make one three times bigger and see if people buy it.
Yeah.
Well, sure as shit, people are buying
it. People buy it. Of course they are.
Slim Jim Savage. What's this one called? Slim Jim Savage.
It's not even on their website.
It's not. No, it's got like Macho Man on the wrapper. I have a picture of it. It looks like those mini baseball bats they give out at Comerica Park.
Oh, here we go.
That's crazy.
Go Conagra.
So I guess Kelly unfortunately wasn't the only person who died. You've got Larry Tesler, a name that most people do not know, but they know what he did. He's the guy that invented
the Tesla
copy and paste.
Oh, yeah, I did read about that.
Yeah, so he invented Control C, Control V, Control and
more important than that is than the cut and the copy is the invention of the clipboard, like this imaginary place where data goes and you can retrieve it.
Dude, I remember pre-PCs when we had the typewriters and I had the three lines of digital and you could cut basically and paste and like, oh my God, we can –
before it printed.
And the whole selling point was we can move paragraphs.
Yeah.
I'm like, when did I ever write a paper where I moved one paragraph above or below another one? Like cut, copy, paste. Like it, we use it for 1,000 different things, but that was what they sold it to be. Oh, you could move like sentences. Like when did I ever move a sentence?
Because everything was all word processing, Bob. That's all it was for.
Yeah, exactly. You know, word perfect. It's amazing.
Your steno pool will love it.
One of the things, oh my God. One of the articles that I'm a fan of some stuff and some stuff I'm not. And this one was kind of interesting. Like, so the employees of Kickstarter voted to unionize and they're calling it a big step in tech. And I'm reading further and I'm like, okay, I'm in. Well, apparently, 46 voted in favor, 37 opposed. So there's only like 100 and whatever, we'll do the math, whatever. That's like 80, 90 employees. And they're like overjoyed by it. And somebody like wrote on LinkedIn, they're like, wait, let me get this straight. Like you're going to fight for higher wages. Like you're in tech, you're in Silicon Valley to boot. You're probably higher paid than anyone ever.
Yeah.
And
you probably got options coming out the wazoo.
Right. Your free lunch options aren't good enough. Yeah. Like what are you getting? You're not getting mistreated. You're not working out. Like what exactly are you doing? It just as a statement, like worker safety. You're in tech. Like,
yeah, so you're all just with carpal tunnel syndrome. Yeah.
Right. Like, okay, I get it. Like, where's the – like, usually I understand it if it's like, okay, we've been mistreated. We've been underpaid. But if you're – especially Silicon Valley tech.
Well, we've had this conversation a bajillion times. Every time, they've talked about, IT workers unionizing and that kind of stuff. And I don't – especially with the way the market is right now. I understood it. Back when things were horrible in the IT industry and people were, getting, burned down to the nub. They were trying to get, systems architects with, 20 years of experience to take a BA job, because it's all they could find.
And before big outsourcing.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
And so I got it. But now, dude, if you're not happy, go down the street.
It's no joke. You put out I asked the guys on my team and we talked all the time. How many recruiters hit you a week? They're like, oh my God, I just pulled my stuff off LinkedIn. I can't. Yeah. Like, what am I supposed to say? I need to be polite.
Yeah.
It's like, here you got Kickstarter. They're probably all making minimum buck and a half.
Easy.
For and it's not that, the work camp, it's UI coding. I don't even think what.
Well, yeah, because it's running servers.
Right.
And then taking 5%.
They're all in the cloud. They're not server people.
So monitor stuff. And taking 5%.
Right, right.
That's the Kickstarter business.
Right.
Go fund yourself. That's – you remember that South Park?
Yes. We have a thing where F your couch has been a thing. So we can politely tell people to go F your couch. So we're making FYC. We made a logo and it's going to be for your consideration. So we politely, politely say no, we can't. For your consideration, here's why. And inside it's going to – so I just gave away the beans, didn't I?
F your couch.
Yeah.
You totally did. Dude, this is weird. And I guess this is one of those things that you don't even think about when shit gets put together. I guess Asus graphics cards, were significantly overheating because they weren't screwed down tightly enough.
What?
The metal wasn't making enough contact with to dissipate the heat.
I don't like Asus stuff anyway. It's one letter away from anus. Every time I see it, that's all I like. I just see anus. Why? When you're a company owner, and I'm like you don't be one letter away from any swear word or body part. Well, no, this good. So it's coming. Obviously, they're coming out of China. It's coming out. These things are all cheaply made, but it's just loose screws.
Yeah,
the main screws. So ridiculous.
It's an imperfect world. Screws fall out all the time.
No, that's if you ever did business in Brazil, we had to ship servers. basically without screwed together.
Yeah.
And basically, so you'd have to pay their VAT. You'd get – there'd be assembly plants.
Yeah.
And you would screw everything like 1, 2, 3, 4 and then save 30%. But yeah. You employed people down in Brazil. I'm wondering if that's got anything to do with that or like where they came from. That is so bizarre to me that that's awesome. You know, yeah. Weird.
So, but don't try and tighten your screws yourself. Send it in. They'll do it under warranty.
Will they?
Yeah.
Oh, they said don't touch it.
Yeah. Don't try and tighten it
yourself. Spalding, don't touch it. thank you, by the way, Jif Peanut Butter, that finally came out of the woodworks and said, we're Jif, they're Gif. Hard G, J.
I disagree. The creator of the format.
No, he's trolling. Graphics is Hard G.
How do you pronounce the P in JPEG?
JPEG.
Photo?
Graphics.
JPEG?
Graphics.
JPEG?
No, you're JPEG. Graphics.
You're a giraffe.
G. Exactly. No.
You ever go scuba diving?
Yes, every day.
Nobody named George.
Oh, good thing to get the peanut butter industry involved in computer acronyms.
Thing. I do. I wonder how many people are going to go out and buy jars of peanut butter because that's their whole thing is they want to. They're releasing a limited run of ones with the different labels.
Right, and it's going to be at every UI UX like IT software.
Every nerd
is going to have one on their desk.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Including, yeah, it's including smart. It's me. Kind of brilliant,
it's,
actually. Yeah,
no, it's good for them.
I wonder if, oh my God, I wonder if this had to, this is a thing. So I was working on a cert ticket today where mobile wasn't, everything was working.
The Apple cert?
Everything was working except for Safari browser.
So,
and this came out.
This actually hasn't kicked in yet. It doesn't. This won't take effect until September of this year.
Oh, that's what I was wondering if this was it. Oh my God!
But it will take. It does take an effect in September. And I do. I understand what they're doing. Like I mean, I remember. You know, certs could never be more than 12 months for the longest time. But you know, you've got a lot of whether they're self-signed or super certs that are extended out, you know, in some cases 2 and 3 years. And what Apple said is, hey, look, we are not going to allow or accept authentication from any certificate that's greater than 13 months old.
Wow.
And I get it. And I like it because it does. I mean, dude, a lot changes, especially in the tech industry, a lot changes in 13 months.
Plus, nobody respects the implementation of revoking a certificate. So
right.
You could theoretically having a 2-year-old certificate floating around doing harm for 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I honestly wonder if this was it though, because literally we were having cert issues and it was people were going.
It shouldn't, like I said,
people were going crazy trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah, like I said, it shouldn't because this isn't supposed to take effect until September.
Oh,
so it shouldn't be an issue yet.
I hope not.
A little close to home, you've got OCC. That has not only got facial recognition technology running on their campus, but they have banned students from even talking about the fact that there is facial recognition technology running on the campus.
Dude, this goes back. You know, some people are fans and some people aren't. You know, Jordan Peterson, he's a professor up in Canada and he's very pointed on certain language being dictated to you by government. Mm-hmm. And this is another one. Like, you can't even talk about it? Like, or what? What are you going to do from a community college?
I guess from the standpoint of they couldn't talk about it, from the standpoint of they couldn't, they were trying to organize meetings and they wanted to, you know, have these groups and associations pass like non-binding, recommendations and that kind of stuff about it.
They're blocking the students who are organizing to prevent the technology from being adopted. So they're blocking students from even meeting, let alone talking about it.
Not a fan.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
I got a kid coming up for college. I'm like, what's college cost these days? You know, it's been a long time. They're still like $90 a credit.
Yeah.
If that, you know, so I'm like, oh. I go, you know, you're going to OCC for 2 years, kid. Uh-huh. Just like
and
the
figure
old,
out what you want
and
to
you
do
go work
you
at
go.
A bar.
Yeah,
yeah, just like the old man did.
Uh huh.
None of this $80,000 in debt bullshit.
Oh, hell no. Well, but I mean, you know, by the time she gets in, you know, Bernie Sanders will have won it. It'll all be free. So
stop talking. Stop talking. What's the deal with what did Google do to Chrome now? Because like, you're not going to get anyone to go back to Firefox. Nobody's going to Edge or Internet Explorer, whatever the hell they call it these days.
The new Edge is pretty good. It's actually built on Chrome.
Shut up.
They took the Chromium open source project that Chrome is built on and built the new version of Edge off of it. So they share the same underlying. But they built in the ability to deep link into a page directly to a word on the page.
What does that mean?
So If you're going through search results or something like that, Google can actually direct you directly to a specific word on a page instead of a built-in HTML header or something like that.
Well, and not only that, but so the one thing that was kind of – that they said what people were kind of getting up in arms about was the – what is it? The on-mouse event that they were enabling within the browser that was just basically just – further enabling a lack of privacy when you're using that browser, and how much of that data is getting sent back to Google, and where it's getting sent back from, where it's getting sent back to. But I mean, they've already kind of backed down off of it, and I think they already released a patch to the patch that initiated that, if I recall correctly.
If anybody's thinking they're getting privacy from Google, go to activity.google.com, and you can call me tomorrow.
Well, more to the point, remember the good old days when the homepage of Google said, don't be evil. Yeah, that's been gone for a long time.
That's been gone for a long time. Speaking of evil, we're going to be back in a quick moment with none other than Jason Bressler, the CTO, and Matt Turner, one of the head recruiters from United Shore, talking about a cool job fair and what it's like to grow one of the biggest companies in Michigan. This is the IT and the D Show.
Hey, we'll be right back. With the Capital One Venture Card, you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles towards travel expenses like flights, hotels, rental cars, and more. Just book and pay for your travel using your Venture Card and redeem your miles towards the cost. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Credit approval required. Capital One Bank, USA, NA.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for hanging out with us. This is segment 2, episode 336 of the one and only IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the sales guy, Dave the geek, Randy do the Twitters is doing fine. ITinTheD.com, where because we are IT in the D, and you good luck with that, Skippy. Hey, this segment is brought to you by our good friends at Vistaprint. We have been using I've been using Vistaprint for IT in the D cards probably since 2000, as early as I remember them, 2009. I don't know, do you remember them, Randy? 2010.
I haven't been part of the group
that long, but no, we've been given out cards for them, and the one thing we're always worried about is that they're paper thin, or they look crappy, or like the colors look stupid, or the font looks stupid. But they actually look like normal business cards you'd get at Staples, and you can honestly design them yourself. And luckily, we've been doing them. Like I just did the co-branded IT and the D one, so like literally made it myself, and ordered 500 at a time for as long as I can remember. Hey, so do us a favor, if you haven't been to Vistaprint, I'm shocked if you haven't been. You can choose whatever style finish. You can do a matte finish, gloss finish, paper shape, any kind you want, and basically with this coupon code you're going to get free shipping. You can pick all your designs and images. You can custom do it yourself like I did, and create something unique and compelling as your business. They use selected inks and reasonably sourced paper stocks. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed, or your money back. They will make it right. Do us a favor. Go to Vistaprint.com. When you're ready to check out, use IT in the D as your coupon code and get free shipping. Give them a shot, even if it's only 250 cards or 100 cards, I think, is your minimum order, just to give them out your next event. Even if we tell people at job fairs all the time, just put your name, what you do for a living, and your phone number and your email address. It's as easy as that, instead of handing out resumes and things that people aren't going to have. Just have a simple business card. So check them out, Vistaprint.com, coupon code IT in the D for free shipping.
That reminds me, I need new cards.
There it is. I'll order them for you. But hey, we are once again, we're very, very lucky to be joined by the CTO of United Shore and United Wholesale Mortgage, Mr. Jason Bressler. How you doing, sir?
I'm great, Bob. How are you?
Good, good. And to your left, Mr. Is it Executive Talent? What's your title these days? You have a different title like every 3 weeks.
Recruiter.
We have one of the top lead recruiters. He's from United Shore as well, Mr. Matt Turner. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great. And you, Bob?
Never been better in all my life. One of the, I guess we'll jump right into it. This United Shore has been on a tear lately on the news. They've been talking about number two in the entire mortgage industry above Wells Fargo, Bank of America. Jason, you've been around for a while. Did you even foresee that this was even possible coming out of a little shop of Troy, just moved to Pontiac? And it's been kind of a wild ride.
I mean, well, first of all, yes, for sure. We saw that it was possible, and that was kind of the goal all along. And this isn't our goal right now, is to be number two. Our goal is to be number one.
Sure.
And we'll get there for sure. But yeah, I mean, we've really, I've been here for about 4 years now, and we've really done everything possible to get to this point. And the growth has been exponential and fantastic to see. And really, we support it and we do the best that we can. But, you know, I mean, we were, again, blessed with such a great CEO who's so business minded and does what's right by people. And that's really what's kind of fueled our growth for sure.
No doubt. And that's the one thing. I mean, what are you up to now as an IT department? You were at 700, I think. Did I hear 800 recently?
I think we're just about 800, somewhere okay. around there. Yeah, for sure.
And then, I mean, here's the thing, you know, I'm sitting in meetings and there's people saying, I need a dozen people. You're like, go get them. I need seven people. Go get them. Well, you need to find that talent. So there's a, you know, the kind of the reasons why you guys are here is on March 4th, United Shores having an IT career fair.
Yep.
I guess talk to me, Matt. Here's the thing. I'm just going to point that out. Like a lot of people hate is like the cattle call environment on some of these IT fairs. I guess talk to me about A, what you're trying to accomplish, and B, talk to me about why this one's going to be different.
Yeah. So this one's so 100% IT focused. We've got leaders from all departments of IT. So we've got representatives repping app dev from the engineering team, support teams, and we've got over 700 people registered already for the event. And essentially, they're going to have the opportunity to see these leaders one-on-one, talk to them a little bit about their experience, and possibly go into a second, more intimate interview and maybe even get offers.
Well, that's the one thing where I was like, I heard that. They're like, they're going to, you know, hey, interviews are going to be in the cafe, and there might be offers put on the table.
Yeah, I think we reserved a couple of conference rooms for deeper dives.
Right, right. People as well. I guess that's new to me, and I've never even seen that. Randy, I don't know if you've ever seen that at job fairs.
No, it's always, you know, thanks for your info. We'll reach out to you.
Here's a postcard.
Right.
Yeah. So walk me through how that's even possible.
I mean, last year we ran two career fairs, and I think from each one we hired about 200 people in each one. But we hired some folks from IT who were, you know, drove up from Findlay, Ohio, and we ended up taking them aside with Mark Wallace and a couple of the other guys in AppDev and interviewing the guy and teching him out. And he was a, you know, a great developer, and we ended up moving forward and making an offer the next day.
No kidding. I guess walk me through who are you hiring? Because, I mean, here's the thing. Like, we talked to architecture, and all of a sudden you need seven people, and work with the cloud team, and I know you need probably four or five cloud engineers. I guess walk me through some. What's your biggest needs? What are the biggest hits? Is it everywhere? Is it dev? Is it DevOps? Is it architecture? Is it everything?
I pulled the numbers before I got here, and we have 299 approved openings in IT right now.
299.
I'd say 90% of that we're looking for experienced hires. So we're looking for people who have a couple years of experience professionally and creating applications or doing QA automation testing or DevOps, working with tools like Puppet and Docker Kubernetes, cloud architects. So it just pretty much everything is open there. This guy just keeps shoving new openings down my throat. So
my job.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well,
I mean, one of the things that, you know, I just brought a new guy on my team. And one of the things I talked to him was, you know, it's funny. We just interviewed a guy at Ford, and we asked him what he's been doing the last 4 years. And he said folder permissions.
Yeah.
And we talked to him. I go, you're in a sincerely unique environment where, like, if you say tomorrow, I want to work on Kubernetes, or I want to do the container stuff, containerization, and we will let you. You know, if you want to go learn how to do ADFS, we'll go. Like, this isn't like, there's nothing really limiting you. I guess, you know, talk to me about, you know, I guess managing that. Like, you know, it's a unique environment, and it's got to be structured. By the same token, it's loose enough where we can give that to employees.
Well, I mean, and yes, we can. But the thing is, from an experienced team member perspective, it's, you know, like when you were 7 years old and your dad took you to – your mom took you to Cedar Point, like the water park, for the first time, and you're like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Sure.
I can run around and I can do anything that I want, and it's a nice hot sunny day, and that's like working at United Shore. That really is the best way to put it from a technology standpoint. And, you know, really I'm just trying to get you in a bathing suit, Bob.
But except there's no water park.
Exactly.
But it's like weird Al UHF. It's like working at a fish. Right. It's exactly. Like working at a fish market, except you don't have to clean and gut fish all day.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you really get from a standpoint – from a – from a sandbox standpoint, whatever you want to do. And, you know, if you have interest in something, and I know we talk about this all the time, but if you have an interest and a desire and you're going to hold yourself accountable and be held accountable by other people, then we'll actually put you where you want to go and what your interests are. As long as you're a good fit, you're all in for UWM, you're all in for IT, you're all in for the team. If that happens, we'll let you run where you want to run, because we want to keep you here for the rest of your life. And so, you know, we want to make sure that really everybody feels fulfilled.
Sure. And I guess you just had a big switch where you don't have the team leads managing just BAs, right? You did a cross environment thing. Walk me through the process on saying, like, is this feedback you're getting and you're just transforming on the fly? I guess, you know, it's kind of a big step.
So it was a big step. And this is from an application development standpoint. And so about 4 years ago when I came here, we were what I'd call cross-functional teams. So it's one leader kind of leading a team of developers and BAs and QAs and scrum masters. And, you know, from that standpoint. And as we got here, we had so many good people that we really succeeded almost in spite of ourselves. And I mean that in the best way possible. We were moving so fast even 4 years ago. We needed to take a step back. If we were really going to scale and say, hey, for us to take our team and our technology team and UWM to the next level, we got to take a step back and actually focus on the disciplines. And so we went to a matrix model. And so we had developer leads and BA leads and QA leads and PO leads. And we kind of set a true structure and a new SDLC and a new framework of what we were going to do. And as we continue to progress and grow and we got new leaders in and we got a lot of experience, the time was right for us to go back to cross-functional teams with the right leaders kind of leading those teams. And so now we're really focused on incremental delivery and, you know, really delivering as fast as we possibly can our end product. And then giving all the control, and this is, you know, from the DevOps standpoint, giving all the control back to the teams and letting them kind of run in their own environment with their own SDLC and their own gate checks and making sure that they're responsible for their own work. And that's really what I think every application development team wants.
And so that's another good point you bring up, like moving fast. Like I don't think people realize how, when you say moving fast, how fast that is.
Sure.
Like when you were, I think the last time you were on, you talked about that CIO symposium you spoke at where you're like, people are talking about dev cycles at 9 months and you kind of laughed. And,
yeah.
But I mean, when you talk about moving fast, I guess walk me through what's your expectations?
It's a little hard, but I would say my expectations are if we have sprints that are 2 weeks and, you know, I mean, we should be planning properly and we should be deploying and we should, you know, be accountable for what we do during that time frame. But when I say move fast, I mean, we're in a very unique situation where we only have one client and that client is the business and
sure.
It's the business of UWM. And so we make sure that we do everything on a dime. And when the business says we want to change this and we want to do it now, it's why we write all of our own software. It's why we try to stay completely vendor agnostic. And if we could not use vendors at any point from a technology standpoint is because we don't want to be bound to anything that we do. So when I say move fast, it's, hey, Bob, if I need to make a change today, then within 24 hours, I'd like that written. I'd like a user story out. I want it developed. I want it tested. And then I want to make sure that it goes through all the gate checks and then it gets deployed into production that quickly.
Sure. And I think that's one of the things the things I see every day is like the growing pains of being in an organization that didn't plan on being a huge enterprise. I'll just go kind of shifting into to enterprise technology. You know, you weren't on the radar for the Ciscos and the Pures and the Microsofts
right.
Like a year and a half ago. And now you are, you know, they want to fly you out to San Jose to go to the management meetings. They want you to, you know, you're an enterprise client. They want you to have weekly meetings. And, you know, I guess is that a good thing or did you like flying under the radar?
I love flying under the radar. I think that's the best way to do it. I'm at the end of the day, I hate attention. And I would like to stay as humble as we possibly can. And I mean that from even an enterprise technology standpoint. And the only way that you can really move very quickly is to make sure that nobody really cares what you do until they expect you to do the best all the time. And that's really where we are right now. And so from an enterprise technology standpoint, we've really, you know, and again, you're a testament to this is once you find the right people and you can drive and motivate and cultivate the right environment. And you work in an environment where we basically say, if it makes sense, go do it.
Yeah.
So get out right now, buy what you need to do, get the licensing and try it. And if it works, let's continue to build off of it. And if it doesn't, just learn from it really quickly and then tell us what's next.
I've never seen it in my life like that. Like, you need to go PO, you need to go get that. Go ahead, go get it.
Exactly.
Like, that's, to me, that's like not insane, but it's go, you need a tool, you need to go get it. Like,
yeah.
You know, you can't hit good out of the sand, go buy yourself a decent sandwich.
Exactly.
Like, you know, but yeah, just seeing the, I wouldn't even call it a trial and error. It's go get what you need to get. How do you want to, you know, the business is uptime for us.
Sure.
You know, we need our customers on all the, cause that's the one thing that was eye opening to me is, you know, hey, we're 30, 32, 35% of the market for wholesale mortgages. When we go down, the market goes down.
The industry goes down.
The industry, sure. Right. And it's like living with that on your shoulders. I mean, you know, the stupid cliche is, hey, Jason, what keeps you up at night?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's got to weigh on you.
I mean, heavy is the head that wears the crown. And that's the thing is,
yeah.
You know, like we're supporting so many brokers, tens of thousands of brokers across the country where we do all of this and we give it to them because we really think that they're a better option for consumers. Like we are legitimately trying to do the right thing. And so when you do that, and it's being a product of your own success, when you get so successful at delivering quality software and quality technology to people that could never afford it or didn't even know what it was, when you go down, their whole world's over. They have no idea what to do. And
sure.
So we have to always be up all the time and always be 10 steps ahead of the game to make sure that we're on top of that. And that's one of the things from an enterprise technology standpoint. It's really easy to get seduced by the newest thing or what's next or somebody chirping in your ear of, hey, you should try this. Well, that's why flying under the radar is such a better thing, because when you got a clear roadmap and you got a clear vision and you stick to it, then those ancillary things just kind of pop in and out as it happens instead of everybody just chasing whatever the next big thing is.
Sure.
And so, you know, we don't chase whatever the next big thing is. We are the next big thing. And so we kind of dictate what we want to do and then we let people kind of fit into that model.
So so here the big thing is the AIM conference. It's what is Association of Independent Mortgage Brokers,
yep,
or whatever. Last year, a few months ago, actually, I think it was last, but it was Brand 360.
Yeah,
was kind of like an automated marketing engine for brokers.
Right.
This year, the big plans for. I know we can't talk about it, but they're you excited about what's coming next?
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be huge for the industry. It's going to be absolutely massive for our broker partners. And we're really excited. We've been working on it for a while and we're really excited to release it at AIM for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean to tip any hats. I don't mean to, you know, the one thing I wanted to talk about, I think it's funny now that I'm on the other end of the stick on LinkedIn. And it's amazing to me how bad salespeople are. And I'm getting these messages.
It's like looking at yourself in the mirror, right, Bob?
I was never that bad. Like,
that's true.
I did get asked, can you introduce me to Jason Bressler? And you were connected to him on LinkedIn. I'm like, you do it. I'm not. You know. But it's. I wish there would be a class to go like, you know, I would like to talk to you how we could have helped other companies such as United Shore with their automation needs. It's like,
exactly.
Almost like, do you ever see, there's a thing called DAC.com, the bullshit generator?
No.
And it was like from the .com days, but it still exists. And it was like every press release written in like 2002 to 2004 hit this button and it was like synergize e-platform, you know, and it was one of the funniest things. And this is the crap that I get. To me, like, I can't believe every, it's, like, four a day. I can't imagine what you have to go. How many voicemails do you have to delete every day?
I don't even get through the voicemails. And even the LinkedIn messages are basically, for the most part, if they're like that, they're deleted. I do occasionally, and I almost hate to say it because we'll see what happens from it, but I did get – somebody sent me an iPad with a full customized message, which it was fantastic, of me, my history.
Like full-blown iPad.
Full-blown iPad with – and it just said press play. And I pressed play and it was this – it was a saleswoman and she went on – she knew everything about me, everything about my history, everything about UWM, how we grew, what we did, and basically was like, hey, we just want to help. So all I'm asking you to do is just call back and just let us talk to you. And at that point, how do you not? Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How do you not when somebody takes that kind of care and time to do something like that?
It's not like the RC car and you're like, call me and I'll give you the remote.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I remember those days. That was fun when I got my first one and then that was such a mistake to call back.
Did you ever get a pair of shoes?
Never got a pair of shoes.
I just want to get my foot in the door.
I kind of like that actually.
No, it's awful. It's awful. So Matt, just I guess, you know, we talked a little bit about you know, the hiring spree and needing to hire. I want to talk to you about how you've hired. We went through some numbers on all the people that Talon has brought through. like hiring three, you know, there's goals to hire 3,000 people at your, how many did you hire in 2019? The team?
The team? 3,027.
So how, but so I see you all walking around giving you, so you don't just, it, this isn't just a cheap interview. You're doing tours, you're meeting, you know, the leads. How do you hire? And you don't have that huge of a team. It's a decent sized team, but like, how do you go about hiring that many people?
Wow, that's a question.
Open-ended, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, as you mentioned, the team size, so everyone including the associate recruiters who are supporting the recruiters and the leaders, all of us total up to about 40 people, which were added throughout last year. So you've got to be really creative with how you move forward through these processes. And I think we have a really solid leadership team from the talent leadership. So they came up with a couple ideas like doing interviewing blitzes at the late afternoon hours for some of these positions like underwriting and closing, where we're willing to train people and we're looking for them to have a certain level of expectations for their education, but they'll bring them in and we'll take them through. We'll give them a full tour of the building, go through all the benefits with them, take them through a screen, make sure they're a fit for that. And in terms of IT, we did the two career fairs last year, which we netted a few people, but you know, specifically to IT, it's a lot of grinding. So company-wide, we have about – I wish I had the number off the top of my head, but it's right around between 55 and 60% of our hires end up being referrals. So the referral process is huge for us, and that's something we've tried to increase our incentives in this year with the new referral program, where if you refer somebody and then they refer somebody, it kind of trickles back up to you. So that's a big area for us. And the only way you get referrals is if people enjoy working for your company.
Sure.
So it says a lot about United Shore as a whole, being that over half the people we hire end up being referred in by people who work there.
And that's the biggest challenge I see in IT recruitment. And I don't know how you guys filter it out, but we see, like, you know, they have all the certs. They check all the boxes. They list off everything that they're looking for. Then you get them in a room and ask them a question and they're like, well, no, I didn't really work on that. Or like, you have it written down right here. It's on your skill. You know, I guess obviously it's frustrating, but how do you filter through that?
Yeah. So I think we have some really good, efficient processes set up at this point. Obviously, we're always trying to improve them, make them better and make them easy as possible on the candidate. So I'll give you an example. From the app dev side, when we're interviewing experience.net candidates, I'm going to talk to them, find out what they're looking for, why they're looking to leave their job, the basic recruiting questions. And then we're going to dive into some high level object oriented questions. And I'm going to kind of figure out, you know, what is this person using on a day to day basis? I don't want to grill them super hard, but if their salary expectations are at a certain level and they're not able to answer some pretty basic questions, you kind of get the sense from there. And so one thing we've done to make it easier on the candidate, once we go through that data and gather that, we actually use an online code assessment tool, which has for their .NET positions, there's an hour time limit on it. So basically two questions. So write out your code in C#. We want to be able to review it. And we're not really as concerned about you getting, you know, all 20 test cases right on it, but we want to understand how you solve the problem and why you went through it that way, even if you didn't get all of them. And then we'd bring you in for a face-to-face interview. That'd be about an hour and a half of your time. So really, on the candidate side, it's an hour and a half of their time. We get all that screening before they go to the leadership team. So I've got a code assessment. I've got my high-level object-oriented questions. I know their salary info and everything else. And we can determine before investing too much time to that person, is this the right fit?
Yeah, it's funny. I just got brought into the BAX interviews. And if you don't know what that is, the BAX, it's kind of like an entry level to be move into a business analyst role. And it's funny to me how, like, half the people, like, here's a math problem. I want you to figure this out. Don't have a pen or paper. Here's a puzzle I want you to put together. I want to see how you know. And then, you know, halfway through, oh my God, I'm so frustrated. Like, you know, just internalize that. You know what I mean? It's just funny to me. Not funny, but it's just like it's 101 stuff. And, you know.
I mean, people respond to pressure differently, though. So, you know, some people aren't good test takers. They're not going to do well under pressure for, like, hey, write these 20 test cases in an hour. Is it because they don't test well, they don't get the job, or is it, you know, something you take into consideration, like, you know, personality-wise. Like, you know, you leave them in a room with an assignment, they're good. You say, hey, you've got an hour to finish this, and all of a sudden, you know, they're shut down because they're worried about the pressure.
Well, with the coding test, that's done on their own time and at their own leisure when they can be in a position where they can do it themselves. And honestly, on a scale of a 100, I want to see at least like 15 out of 100. I need to see you are capable of solving a problem in C sharp. If you're getting a zero and you can't solve one of two questions or get a single test case right, we're probably not going to be looking at you for the position.
Do you consider a previous work like their GitHub repositories and things like that, or does that not matter?
I would, but I would send the data over to the team, but my expectations would be somebody can sit down at a dev environment that's set up for them that they should be familiar with and be able to at least get a few test cases right in solving a basic C-sharp question.
So setting up for this March 4th job fair, IT career fair, register online. Where do they go?
Eventbrite.
Yeah. So just Google United Shore IT career fair, March 4th.
Yeah, it'll come up. I actually did that. I sent the link to somebody earlier today. So if you Google it, you go United Shore IT career fair, it should come up in the first five results.
So do you want people dressed like T-shirt and sport coat and jeans like Bressler, or do you want people like suit and tie? I guess what's is there something preferred? You tell people be casual, be comfortable. It's IT, so I mean,
look at this guy over here. He's got a V-neck T-shirt on and jeans, and he goes to work like that.
Yeah, I had to buy one for crying out loud.
Exactly. I mean, to be honest, we want people that grind. We want people that work hard. That, you know, whether you're experienced or whether you've got a lot of experience or just a little bit, we want people that are in, want to work hard, want to make a difference in people's lives. And I mean, I know it sounds a little cliche and a lot of people say that, but I mean, I think you guys know that's what we do and that really is what we care about. And so that's what we want. I don't care if you come in a tank top. I mean, I guess I do care if you come in a tank top.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, because it's the wintertime.
I was going to say it's March. You probably shouldn't.
Yeah. That'd be a little bit silly. But, you know, like outside of that, it's, you know, we're growing so fast. It is a chaotic environment. And so even to the earlier question, it's the fact is – sometimes even if you don't perform well under pressure, this probably at some point will get a little difficult for you, right? Like you gotta at some point be able to take the we gotta go and we gotta go now. And it's not like that all the time. I mean, you guys know, but when it is, like you gotta go. And if you're a deer in a headlight, it's gonna catch up with you at some point. But if you're not, if you're decent in chaos and you wanna grind and you wanna advance and all those things are really important to you, this really is the place for you.
Well, that's my philosophy on my team is like super friends. And we've talked about this many times. Like I have some very loud type A personality engineers. I have some very quiet engineers that are just as smart and talented. They just go about their business a completely different way and neither one of them are wrong.
Sure.
It's just a matter of how do you put them in a room and how do you have them – what's their output?
Right.
And that's kind of the same way I'm looking at it. Like when I'm meeting people, it's not like, well, I want to see what you'll fit like in the not the Legion of Doom. That's the bad guy's place, the Hall of Justice. And, that's, come on. No, but you know what I mean? Like there's so many different personalities and I think that they're all, to me, they're all right answers as long as they're output and as long as they got a yes attitude. That's my biggest thing is, I always compliment people on every time I ask you to do something mundane, you don't eye roll or go, God damn it. You just say, yeah, no problem. I got it.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Yeah. You got to have a yes mentality, but you really do. You got to want to believe in the mission of what we do. And really we're not a technology company. We're not a mortgage company. We're a company that's in the business of making people's lives better and easier. And we legitimately believe in that. And so if at your core that's kind of what you are, and you're a hard worker and you like to grind, it's all going to work out. It doesn't really matter what your personality is, especially in IT. I mean, we were talking earlier, like you get a lot of weird – you get some great people. You get a lot of weird people. Great. I want it all.
Weird people are some of the best ones.
Yeah, I mean, you are a strange, strange dude, Bob. But
you have
for
no
sure,
idea.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
I kind of think that I do a little bit, yeah. But.
Back to the logistics of the event. I like that you've done it 6 p.m., so it's outside of business hours, so people who have a day job can attend it. Is this a bring printed copies of your resumes type event, or is
– I mean, they're going to have a ton of IT leaders there, so I would, absolutely. So I kind of wanted to get back to something Bob was talking about people being unprepared for interviews, just a kind of touch point on that because it – I wanted to comment, every person I email to interview at United Shore, I literally list five suggestions at the bottom of the email. And I can't tell you, in terms of percentage of people who follow that, like 2%. I would say,
what are they? What are the things?
Bring questions for the team. Bring a notepad.
Okay.
So you can actually show that you're interested in the opportunity.
Right.
You know, dress professional. Show up on time. Like just really your basics
sure.
and everything. But I think the biggest one that's always striking to me is how anyone could show up to a job interview and not come with questions written down. Like, what do you want to know? Like you should – if you really want to work somewhere – you should be interviewing the team too. It should be 50-50 and to decide if that's really the place you want to work. So how you could ever walk into an interview without having questions is just blows my mind.
I mean, I think sometimes, you know, especially if you come in and you're inexperienced, you might not know what to ask and it can be a little bit intimidating. But yeah, I totally agree. If you're not prepared for what you're going to come into, it's that's definitely not good.
Well, even you look at all the press that UWM and United Shore has gotten, it's you know, questions should be abound. Like how would it, you know, like, talk to me about the bridge going across South Boulevard. You know what I mean?
Now that's all the questions we're going to get to. Answer
that. Thanks. So talk to me about this bridge. Is it going to be run with fiber optics?
No.
No. Yeah, no. There's trench underneath. I found that out. Someone asked that in a meeting. I'm like, are we going to run fiber under the bridge? I'm like, no. Nope,
underneath.
That's not how fiber gets run. But you guys totally threw me off. So here's the thing. So we talked about not being a catacomb. What should they expect? Because we were talking about there's going to be a VR thing set up for people to ping pong. Like, so I mean, there's going to be.
I wish marketing was here.
But I mean, no. Like, so what do they expect? You come in, check in, get your name badge, find out what your area of want is, and then kind of.
Yeah, I mean, everything is going to be set up in our huge auditorium. So there's going to be set up split into different sections of areas of the business where there's focus, right? And each one of those sections is going to have leaders from each one of those teams. They'll be doing interviews in the cafeteria and then possibly second interviews out in conference rooms with leaders if everything's going well. So it's just – honestly, it's even if you aren't looking for a job, it's a great way for you to come in, talk to some leaders in the industry – and who knows, maybe you will want to work here.
I mean, we're all going to be there. So like I'm going to be there all my – like almost my entire leadership team. So we've got, you know, 85 leaders inside of IT. Are you going to be there?
Yeah.
All right, good. So Bob will be there. So
you need a chair though.
So obviously. But like we'll all be there. Like we're all going to answer questions on not just what it is to work here, but like actually tell you what we're looking for, what we want, and on the spot – hey, if this makes sense, either come into the cafeteria, let's continue to talk, or let's set up another time so that we can kind of get this going.
Sure.
Yeah, no, that's going to have that many senior leaders available for basically the public to talk to.
I've never heard of one.
No.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Typically recruiting staff only, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So it's just an amazing opportunity, and it's, you know, thank you guys for volunteering to be there.
Yeah, no, we're really excited for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we need, you know, obviously we need the talent, 300 openings. So.
Sure, yeah.
But hey, Jason Bressler, Matt Turner, appreciate it. Find Matt Turner on LinkedIn. Don't find Jason. No, I'm just kidding. Send him a note. Send him
some mean.
Send him a box of shoes and say you want to get your foot in the door. If you're a size 11?
Yes.
Shit's going to hit the fan real quick. I'm in trouble. But hey, no, honestly, guys, I appreciate you hanging out with us. It's seriously a pleasure to have you in the studio again, Jason.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
And I look forward to a successful career for it. And if you guys need anything else from us, just let us know.
We need some more experienced recruiters over at United Shore because our numbers that we need are just going to be crazy. So
done.
If you're an experienced IT recruiter and you want to work for United Shore, feel free to reach out to me directly or apply online.
Or talk to me. I'll tell you about it,
too. Or talk to Bob.
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
Well, hey, spiel.
Jason Bressler, Matt Turner, appreciate it from United Shore. Find them online, unitedshore.com or UWM.com. We're going to take a quick break. This is the IT and the D Show, and we'll be right back.
Wave is a free, easy-to-use financial software that helps freelancers, consultants, and small business owners make, move, and manage their money, bringing them closer to financial success through accounting, invoicing, payments, and payroll. Just like Chris. Hey, Chris started his own business 3 years ago and has been using Wave ever since. He was never confident about the financial aspects of running his own business, but since discovering Wave, he was relieved to find a service that made invoicing and payments so straightforward. Wave's free accounting, receipt management, and invoicing tools give your business the professionalism it deserves. Have employees? Wave can pay them directly in automation. Make your payroll tax filings. So here's the deal. I've got us up and running with this. You know, for those who don't know, not only are we IT in the D, but we also own Podcast Detroit, and we have a few engineers that work for us. And so trying to get bringing everybody online with that, because I don't want to keep track of any of this nonsense anymore. And that'll just make my life easier. That's my story. I'm sticking to it, and hopefully it makes their lives easier as well. So it's time to ditch the Excel spreadsheet, shoeboxes filled with receipts and lost invoices, and start growing your business. Set your business up for financial success by signing up for your free account today at waveapps.com/IT in the D. That's waveapps, waveapps.com/IT in the D. Give them a look. I did. Kind of digging it. Thanks, guys.
Hey, this is going to wrap things up for episode 336 of the IT and the D show. I'd like to thank Jason Bressler, Matt Turner from United Short and United Wholesale Mortgage to hanging out with us. Sincerely appreciate it. I'd like to thank Wave and Capital One and Vistaprint for keeping the lights on the show. We sincerely appreciate it. On behalf of Bob, Dave, and Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful because it's snowing. Beat it.
See you guys.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. Run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now!
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.